Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Book Wars Pod. I am Chris and I'm here with my co-hosts Kate and Kristen. And we are here wrapping up From a Certain Point of View, the compilation of 40 short stories in honor of the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. It's been a fun ride. This is a very different book than what we've read so far.
It is. And we hope they do more quote unquote weird shit like this because it's been fun.
Yup. I'm excited. I'm just about to start reading Canto Bight. We're not reading it for the pod yet, but just personally. And I'm very excited about more quote unquote weird shit. I love novels, but I also love non-novels.
Yes. Sorry. We're all in a really weird mood again tonight, so sorry about that.
Y'all, but our internet appears to be working better, so that's good.
I'm changing my meds, and I'm like simultaneously on crack and very sleepy, and it's fascinating.
Also, The Last Jedi is still out, and Correct. It's still on fire. So.
Correct.
And we've all, and it's also the holidays, so we've all spent a little bit too much time on Twitter and not enough time necessarily working.
Yeah, speak Distract for yourself. Ourselves. I've been busy.
You know all what? Right.
I've also been busy, but like I've also been on Twitter way too much.
Oh well, yeah, fair. Bofa.
I was gonna say Bofa. I'm just on Twitter more than I would be, so I'm somehow like I have even less time in my day. I don't even understand how it's working, but year end can suck my balls.
Yep, tell me about it. And on that note, what are we drinking, Kristen?
Yum!
Sometimes you just don't have a transition. You know, sometimes you just gotta push through.
Speaking of queer,
what are we drinking?
I think the wine that I'm drinking has a horsey on it.
Yay!
So obviously I'm drinking wine because I'm leaving town tomorrow, so I had an open bottle that I have to finish. but I am drinking a 2016 Ca del Bio. It's all in Italian, so fuck me, right? I should just send it to Kate. She could say it.
I could.
some other words I can't read. It's a Nebbiolo. So it's a Nebbiolo import from Italy. And it is delicious. I had a friend make eggplant parm on like Monday night, I think, Monday or Tuesday. That's great. And they're nice enough to like invite me over to their house when they cook a lot of the time. Aww. So I brought a Nebbiolo, a Barolo, and Chianti. So I left the Chianti with them, and I opened all three of them because I'm extra, even though there's only four of us. Chris like, why are you opening all three? I'm like, because I want everybody to try them.
Because they're ambitious.
I love Nebbiolos and Barolos, even though they're very similar. But so I'm finishing off the Nebbiolo. I think I finished the Barolo last night. Twist.
That's very nice. Two nights ago. You have friends that invite you over when you cook. I aspire to be nice enough to invite people. I aspire to be nice enough to invite people over when I cook. But when I cook, I want to eat it all. You know,
it's true.
I want to eat it for me.
They also have a fucking house, so that helps.
Oh, okay.
You know,
so they
have room
need
in the kitchen, and they have room.
Yeah,
at the
they gotta fill that space.
So they're real
yeah,
adults.
For sure. Yeah. Well, no, they're not real adults. They're roommates in a house.
Okay.
But they have a house.
Whatever.
I mean, there are like four of them that live there. So.
Okay. No,
they're the best.
Kate, they're not dating. Do you get it? Do you understand? Do you understand? They're cohabitating.
Oh, one of them is one of them is a couple, and then the other two are not a couple.
All right.
Because the other one's a gay man. Not dating the other woman that lives there.
Got it. Thanks. That would
now be I feel completely caught up on this entire house. You're I feel so like welcome. I know them.
Well, it's like they all lived in one house before, and then they moved, and one of our friends got engaged. She moved out, and the guy that my other friend was seeing moved in so they could live together.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. What are you guys drinking?
I am drinking a Port City Porter, Pride of Alexandria, Virginia. And I'm drinking it out of a Chewbacca koozie, a wedding present from one Kristen Cerisi.
Accurate. Hey. Hey.
Yeah, I like fucking got you guys so much weird Star Wars shit for your wedding.
Yeah, sure none of
it
did.
Was on your none of it was on your register.
And it was a life-size BB-8 plushie.
It was a bigger than life-size BB-8 plushie.
It's a little bigger. It's BB-8's bigger than you think he is.
No, he's not. And he's big. And shut up. And Death Star measuring cups.
Mm. Oh, and the dish towels, I think.
And the dish towels.
Yeah, you got us a lot of shit.
With the
all Star Wars.
See, it's the
it's
dish
almost
towels.
Like you buy people things to show them your love, Kristen.
It's the dish towels with the original theatrical posters on them.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope you guys use those. I think they're really cool.
They're happy.
They're out. We don't use them because we don't want to stain them. So they're out and decorative.
Oh, that's fair. You should use them, though. I think they would like to be used.
Fair. We'll keep that in mind. We'll keep their feelings in mind.
She asked them.
Thank you.
All right. And Kate, what are you drinking?
I'm God damn it. This is already so fucking weird. Jesus. All right.
At least we're not grumpy like last night.
That's true. We're so angry.
Yeah. For those who listened to episode 31, last night was just weird.
Oh, God.
Don't worry about it.
Like, sorry. Anyway, sorry, everybody. Anyway, I am drinking some more wine from Trader Joe's. It is a rosé. Chris put the bottle back in the fridge, so I cannot read the bottle, but the brand is Espiral, and I think it's Portuguese. Yeah. I only know that because they've also got the green wine.
Oh, is that the same?
Yeah.
The green wine's
good.
Do you know what kind of grapes they are? Sorry, I'm being annoying.
I don't...
They're the rosé kind.
Kristen. I don't because
fuck you, Chris.
Oh my God. I don't know what kind of grapes they are because Chris doesn't believe in women reading wine bottles, so he put it away.
You're so welcome for pouring you a glass of wine so you didn't need to get up, dear.
Uh-huh.
You're so welcome.
I need to get my fidget spinner so I don't lose focus on this episode. Okay.
Okay, but don't lick it because that shit has lead in it.
What?
You heard about this? Fidget spinners like all have lead in them.
It's not a cheap one.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter.
China, man. I could say that.
Like they're actually like they're preparing to do like a massive class action lawsuit
against
like the manufacturers of like it's like one warehouse in China basically that produces them all. Okay. And they all have lead paint.
Listen, I can make fun of China and lead because my grandpa, who lived in China for most of his life until he came to America at a very advanced age, had some weird leukemia, and I swear to God, it's because he was eating lead his entire life. I'm not kidding. So, don't lick that shit.
Well, yeah, I'm not. But it's not like one of, I don't know. I think this actually may have been made in the United States. It has ball bearings in it, because I'm an extra asshole, and I've broken those, like, the, like, plastic cheap ones before with...
God, you would buy a premium fidget spinner.
Well, I don't want to break it. It's like made of metal. I needed one that was like I wasn't gonna break.
Oh my God, I'm being taxed today.
Hey, Chris, I thought that you would understand as somebody else who like grinds their teeth through their night guards like on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Chris needs a new night guard because he like broke his. Like I don't.
Oh, I woke up and like I have retainers, so they're really expensive. Like I have to go get them at the orthodontist, and they're stupid expensive and not covered under insurance. And I woke up and I was like, "What is this chunk of plastic in my bed?" Oh, I like bit off the end of one of my retainers again. Fuck. I'm not even particularly stressed about anything.
Well, on that great note, let's talk about it from a certain point of view.
We're a solid 8 minutes in at this point.
Oh my.
We talked about Star Wars the whole time.
Yep.
Oh
definitely.
My God.
Anyway, from a certain point of view, we're wrapping up today. But one thing that we wanted to continue with from last episode that we didn't quite get to is kind of the discussion of the deep dive into some of the characters that we saw. And last episode, we talked a lot about Yoda and Mon Mothma and Han. And we did not have a chance to talk about some of the pilots, the more nameless heroes of Star Wars, which is kind of the point of From a Certain Point of View, is to get those points of view. And we did not have a chance to talk about them. So we wanted to do that here before wrapping up. And one question that I have is like, so, you know, when you're watching A New Hope and you've got all wings report in, you know, Red 2 standing by, Red 3, you know, I don't remember if they do it in like sequential order or not.
Don't remember.
They actually do it in a sequential order.
They don't. I was going to say I didn't think they did. So I don't remember the order they do it in. But
You don't remember the order they do it? You're fired from Star Wars.
You can't fire me from Star Wars. I just finished my first Legends book. I'm a hashtag real fan now.
Molly got me a Legends book for Christmas.
Oh, God. Well, which one? Is it the Otter one?
It's somewhere. I wish it was the Otter one. No, she found it. I think she found it at a library book sale.
Oh, bless.
I have to find it, and I can tell you. I'm very excited about it.
Oh, bless.
Nice.
Front of the pod at Molly the Ghost.
Yes.
Yeah, I opened it, and it has, like, weird drawings of all the characters, and I was like, I'm already into this.
Yes, send us a picture. We slap that into the Instagram.
Yep.
I will. Sorry.
Yes.
I forgot to tell you guys before now.
No, it's all good.
What was the thing? Oh, so you see A New Hope, and you get all the wings reporting in, and you don't really think of them as fully... I mean, if you've watched it enough, you do think of them as fully-fledged characters. But to somebody who's just seen the movie a few times, they're cannon fodder, for lack of a better word. And so one, like, question that I have is, how will this make you guys watch A New Hope differently? Or will it at all? How will, like, knowing their stories...
It's gonna make me even sadder than I usually am when they get shot down in A New Hope.
I know, right?
I'm already really sad about it.
Aww.
Especially, what's the one with the gal that keeps track of all the shit?
Grounded.
Yeah, same. Grounded and Spark. Sparks?
Yeah.
Multiple.
Sparks.
Grounded and Sparks, I mean, like, fuck me up the most.
Oh my gosh.
I think they were supposed to, but
yes.
I think it's interesting because, like, Grounded wasn't even from the point of a pilot, and that, I think, was, like, more heart-wrenching than any of the rest of the stories that were even about, like, pilots dying in battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grounded was brutal.
I mean, I think I mentioned last time that Grounded this time around was the one that really affected me the most. And I think for me, it's really because... You know, we talk about a lot of these people being unsung heroes and whatnot, but talk about the most unsung of unsung heroes, the people who are, you know, again, the people who are behind the scenes keeping the machine moving, and you never even see them, like, a little bit in Star Wars, and, you know, Neera Case is one of those people, and even though we don't see her, she's so close to the action, she's so close to each of these pilots, she knows them better than we ever will, and it just... it just hurts so bad, like, that ending where she just, you know, I mentioned it last time, where everyone's celebrating, and she's just like, we lost the most pilots today.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
It's kind of, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about The Last Jedi, but it's like, it's a consistent theme in Star Wars, right? Like, these battles are all really costly, like the Battle of Endor. The Alliance came really close to losing that battle and lost a lot of good people. And, you know, you have the people who survived it. You've got, obviously, Lando and Wedge. You've got Shara Bay. You've got Nora Wexley. But you also have, you know, the people who didn't survive. And same with the Battle of Hoth. You have Dak, the gunner extraordinaire.
Dak.
Me and Kate, every time we watch Empire, make fun of Dak because he's just completely useless.
We're so mean, though.
We're really mean to Dak. But you have Jansen, and you have Hobby, who we now know have actually met in Star Wars Rebels as, like, an additional side character. So, like, there's real... I don't know. Like, we know these characters, and so it's, like, interesting to see their points of view, and particularly in Sparks and in... Desert Sun, Pierce Brown's story about Biggs, like, to not just hear their thoughts and their stories, but to hear their thoughts as they die is, like, really poignant, I feel like.
I mean, I think what you're trying to say, it heightens the stakes for us as fans.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Thank you. Kate always knows how to say it better.
I know.
That's fine.
Kate's really good at words.
Sometimes. Sometimes I just say eat my ass.
True.
that's still good with words. That's very expressive.
Everybody gets the exact emotion that you're feeling.
It's descriptive and tells you.
You can picture it.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm so upset. All right. Anyway.
One other question I have is,
Jesus.
So obviously this book comes out a little less than a year after Rogue One. And Rogue One was... obviously, in terms of movies, kind of a game changer in terms of who it portrayed, because it didn't portray, obviously, the Skywalkers, but it also didn't portray heroes that would go on to do great things. Like, it showed the nameless people, and it showed, you know, the ones who die, frankly, the ones who nobody cared, who, the ones whose sacrifice only gets them one sentence in the opening crawl of A New Hope.
I mean, in a way, in that sense, Rogue One was the first, from a certain point of view, story.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I don't, say a little bit more about that. How do you think this book was affected by Rogue One, or the development of this book, or the idea behind this book affected Rogue One? Basically, how are those two related?
Well, what the franchise is starting to do with these anthology stories is, again, to turn over rocks that are there but haven't, no one's actually peeked under them before, right? Rogue One is obviously one of those stories. Han Solo's youth is apparently one of those stories. We all really wanted that. We all definitely asked for that movie. La 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 la.
Fucking Solo.
I'm trying to keep an open mind about it until we see it.
I don't even care.
At least until we see a trailer, which rumor has it's coming. It sounds like the trailer might be out by the time
Lando movie.
I want a Lando movie. Anyway. Well,
hopefully this is a Lando movie.
Also, give me my Rebels trailer.
Yo, same! They're not going to give it to us until like 3 weeks after New Year's. But anyway. what the fuck was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, you know, we're kind of starting to explore on film things that used to only be in the realm of the non-film media almost, you know? I think that's...
It's definitely happening. I mean, yeah.
Which is why I just wanted to say that's why I'm hoping so much that Thandie Newton is Rae Sloane, because that'd be kind of a nice little wink nod to the to all of us faithful who love her so much. But anyway, you were saying, Keeks.
Hell yeah. No, I was just gonna say, I mean, it's interesting because I think more than even being like the first from a certain point of view story, it just kind of like is the Rogue One coming out was just kind of like, how do I say this? So The Force Awakens, I think like the gap between The Force Awakens and Rogue One was kind of like a statement by Disney to show the vastness and depth and wide-ranging aspirations that Disney has planned for the franchise, which I think is really cool, because I mean TFA was pretty safe and had a lot of fan service and was great, and Rogue One was super 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 fucking different and literally was about like a throwaway line in a new hope. But I think that's like really interesting, because it's like when we look at The Force Awakens as the first output of like that, the first movie output of like that Disney franchise, you know, being the franchise being purchased by Disney, you know, we kind of worry, at least I did, that like everything was going to be kind of like really safe and they weren't going to take a lot of risks, even though there were some risks taken. Not really risks, but, you know, it wasn't 100% white people for once. It was mostly white people, but it was not 100% white people, and there was a female lead.
What a concept.
But, I mean, Rogue One really kind of pushed that boundary. It was all people, for the most part, that we didn't know. And it was the first standalone Star Wars story, and it was really, really fucking different than anything else that had ever been put out ever in the franchise.
Yes. It's interesting because Rogue One, you know, being the first anthology movie, what also served as proof of concept, so they had to get it exactly right, and they really had to fucking stick it on the landing, and they did, luckily. But yeah, you're right, it just kind of cast aside this idea that Star Wars was, once Disney bought it, that it would get all Disney-fied and sanitized and all that other stuff, which is what people are worrying about right now, since Disney bought, 20th Century Fox and, you know, all the comic book properties that go along with that. Like, is Deadpool still going to be R-rated? Anyway, these are questions we have about media.
This is a total not even Star Wars related tangent, but like, I don't know how you can see the stuff that Disney has put out in the past 5 years and think that they're the same company they were in the 90s.
What a great point.
Like, it's what everything is on the internet. It's just willful ignoring of fact. It's willful ignoring of, like, the evidence in front of your face. People anyway, that's a tangent.
That is a tangent, and also, like, the Disney ownership group is still terribly problematic.
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
Especially the ESPN group. I just think all of that deserves to... I think they deserve to be thrown under the bus as much as they can. The company founded by white supremacist Walt Disney. Thank you.
Yay!
Yeah. And don't even get me started on Bob Iger. Not a fan.
Ha ha ha. Anyhow.
But fuck you, Bob Iger.
One last point on kind of the intersection between From a Certain Point of View and Rogue One and the Rebel Pilots. I don't know when we're going to read it because it's kind of one of the lesser mentioned new canon books. But the first Battlefront novel, Twilight Company, it's basically just a whole novel, but like from a certain point of view. Like, it's about the nameless people who, you know, it's Christmas season. We can quote It's a Wonderful Life, who do the fighting and the living and the dying in the Star Wars galaxy.
Oh, you just made me so happy.
I know. This is why we're married.
Oh my God.
But it's about the people who you don't know and you will never know. And it's a really, really interesting book. It's incredibly well written by Alexander Freed, who wrote Contingency Plan about Mon Mothma in From a Certain Point of View.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. And I might try and sneak it, kick it up the list a little bit, because it's really good and it's worth reading.
That's fine by me, because the way you always describe it to me is it just sounds like a Star Wars version. This is going to sound so stupid, but it sounds like a Star Wars version of The Things They Carried by Tim O'Brien, in the sense that they're like...
I've not read it, but...
It's like on the ground, like people like dragging themselves like through the muck, and the stories are all interlinked and...
I've not read The Things They Carried, which I know is a personal failing.
Sure is.
Because it's one of your favorite books.
It is.
But it is, I think, similar in tone. It's got a very...
I'm pumped.
It's got a very Vietnam vibe to it.
Sure.
Yeah, I have no opinions. I can't read.
That's fine.
It's all right. I'll sneak that one on the list sometime.
Please.
All right. So I want to move us forward into some of our traditional wrap-up topics. And instead of, you know, with our wrap-up, we usually do kind of like a quick fire. What did the form of media add to this? But obviously with this entire book of short stories, we can't just each say one sentence about why short stories. Like, I feel like that is a question we talked a little bit about at the top when we were reading this book in the first episode, back in, I guess, would have been episode 28. But why short stories? What advantages do short stories have in this book? And how do they create the experience of reading this book? And while you guys answer that, I'm going to go get another beer.
Nice. I think one of the nice things about short stories in this case is we've talked a lot about how many of these stories really pack an emotional punch. And I think part of that is due to the fact that the short story form is like, get in, like, literally just like a punch the reader right in the face and get out. you know, I think I talked a little bit on the first episode about how short stories need to be pretty much perfect to be effective. Because they literally just don't have as much room as a novel does. There's just not as much space. There's not as much breathing room. And there's no B plot, you know, to keep people interested if they get bored with the A plot and vice versa. So, yeah, I don't know. This is just like short stories are always just like really tight storytelling at its best. Like, teachers will always tell you that if you want to learn how to write better, regardless of what genre you write in, you should read poetry and you should read short stories. And this is exactly why.
Fuck yeah. I totally agree with all of that, interestingly enough. But I want to this isn't necessarily a contrasting, this is more of an and. But the nice thing about short stories is also that you can kind of take risks in them that you can't take other places. Like, I don't know that I would have necessarily wanted to read like an entire novel that was written like of MS6. Is that what it was called?
MSE6
and men.
Yes, absolutely.
And also the Will story. I don't know, like, I don't, and, you know, numerous other things that we've talked about on previous From a Certain Point of View episodes. You know, a lot of them were written from like an incident, like as an incident report and things like that. And those just don't work in other forms. I think, but also you can't really say that that's not, they're not also taking like a really interesting, good risk because they wouldn't work in other forms. So I actually also really love that about short stories, is that we get this kind of like edgier, more interesting storytelling a lot of times, that we wouldn't get from a traditional novel or even a novella.
Absolutely. That's such a great point. Chris, do you have...
I'm responding to somebody commented on our Instagram, and so I'm responding to it.
Well, thanks.
No, I mean, I think...
Southern Cynic said hi.
Hi!
Sorry.
I love you!
In Twitter DMs and, like, saying, I shouldn't be in here right now so Kate doesn't yell at me. And she goes, tell everybody I said hi.
Hi!
No, I mean, I think you both really said it all. I think that the short story... I don't think that these stories could be told through novels. I mean, as I just got finished saying that Twilight Company is kind of a novel form of these stories and what they represent, and I love it. That being said, I think that part of what makes this book great is the diversity and the variety of the stories that we hear, and the fact that there's really something for everyone. Like, I know when I first heard about this, I was really excited to kind of read about the Imperial perspective. I know that a lot of people on Twitter were really excited to hear about the pilots. I know that a lot of people were incredibly excited to know that Yoda and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon were going to be featured. So there's really something for everyone, and I feel like it is... We can sometimes get a little bit of tunnel vision when we're looking at like some of what our favorite novels are, and like, I really want another Thrawn novel. Like, side note, I'm super excited for Thrawn Alliances. But like, I really want...
I've never been excited about Thrawn before.
Nope.
You hate Thrawn.
You hate blue people.
You do. You have a prejudice. All blue people
and pirates. I hate.
Exactly.
God damn.
Glad we got that straight.
Fuck.
But no, like, we can sometimes lose sight of the forest for the trees and get really attached to what we want out of the stories and the fandom and the franchise as a whole, which I think is a larger problem in fandom. But I think,
Chris, just sound like you're subtweeting everybody who did not like The Last Jedi right now, and this is supposed to be a spoiler-free podcast.
That's, we never said that.
Anyway, the point being that the beauty of this book is that it does have something for everyone, and it represents that something for everyone that I think at its best moments Star Wars aspires to, and the Star Wars fandom should aspire to.
I also want to point out that, you know, we keep saying this is a short story anthology. There is one poem in here, or should I say a soliloquy, written in Shakespearean form, which
it's amazing.
Yes. Well, is it just called Palpatine?
It's Palpatine by Ian Dorsher.
Yes. Yeah. And
it's the same person who wrote the Star Wars Shakespeare book.
Yes.
Which has a name.
It's William Shakespeare's Star Wars. Verily a New Hope.
Talked about this. Can we read this shit on the podcast? I don't even care. It's not even in maybe. Our like.
Maybe if, sounds, yeah, maybe if we run out so of novels fun. We can. It's fun. I've read the first one, and it's fun.
Yeah. I just want to say that my favorite thing is, oh my god, I'm such a goddamn nerd, but I went through it and I was just like, obviously it rhymes, etc. It's actually an iambic pentameter.
I was gonna say, it's an iambic pentameter, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is, yeah, literally okay. An iambic pentameter, which is, you know, translate, like, I really I have a few of the Shakespeare Star Wars books, and I haven't read them yet, but now I really, really need to, because You know, he obviously made up this whole soliloquy for Palpatine, but he translated all the dialogue and action, whatever, of the movies into iambic pentameter, which I can't even imagine what a feat of mental gymnastics that was. So
yeah,
I'm gonna have to read them.
He probably had so much fucking fun doing it.
I know, yeah.
And he's done all the first seven movies.
Yeah,
The Force Doth Awaken just came out in October, I believe, this year.
It did.
Yeah, this should be like if we ever monetize, this should definitely be. We don't need to read it like really on the pod, but
I know. It's
outside of our scope. But I want to read the shit out of them, or at least just have me and Kate do it, and we can English nerd about it.
Oh, we can just
if we ever run out of novels.
I love Shakespeare, so.
Mm-hmm. Same. I feel like that's one of the first things we talked about, where we're just like, wait, were we in the same Shakespeare class in college? It was really
funny. Then we were like, were we in the same short story class?
Did you take children's lit at the same time I did? Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
Oh, I didn't actually even know that. All that.
We didn't. We didn't take any of
those
classes.
We missed each other
at the same time.
On all of those?
By a semester for all of those.
By like one semester for all of them.
That's hilarious.
So funny.
Which is great because we would also, I think we would just kill ourselves if we were in the same class but not friends. So
true.
Yeah, it's a fun fact. Even though me and Kate both went to GW, we weren't friends until after.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a Book Wars Pod deep cut.
She lived in the same dorm as me too for a while.
So. Well, I mean, everybody lived in City Hall.
Yeah, but it's still funny. I also just want to point out that Initiative Short Stories and the Shakespearean thingamabob that we have for Palpatine. There's also a very tiny comic strip / panel by, is it Jeffrey Brown who drew it?
I think,
please God, that's maybe, his name.
I don't know.
Oh, fuck. Now I gotta look it up.
Yeah, it sounds right.
All
right.
Well, if I got your name wrong and you're listening to this, please come punch me in the face because I'm sorry. But it's that one where they go check out Dantooine and there's like a box that's just like rubble base and they're like, I don't think this is real. Which I thought was hysterical. Like,
but Kate, is it canon?
I'm gonna murder you.
Was the rebel base a box?
Yes, I'm going with yes. No, but for real, it's funny that we're talking about taking risks in short stories. They literally decided to take even more risks in the short story anthology, and thank God for it because it was all very good.
Yeah, it was fun. It led to more diversity of storytelling and more interesting things. Like, I feel like it was almost in a way. The lessons of the Legends universe applied to the canon universe. Like, if that makes sense. Just, like, being able to tell us all these different stories. Sorry, as I burp, because I had a big sip of beer.
Beer.
It was just fun.
I've switched to Claim 52, a beer.
Wait, guys, I need to like pause this conversation for 5 seconds, because somebody just texted the group text that Chris and I are on for... some of our college friends, and our friend just asked, is Lobot the worst character of Star Wars? LOL. Oh, no, he is not. Leave Lobot alone, for the love of God. He's just a simple man with some fucking
18.
Oh my God, leave Lobot alone. He's just a simple man with some fucking brain implants, and he is not a racist caricature. Leave him be. Oh my God, I'm so upset right now. Anyway,
I want to know if our friend is watching Star Wars, and if she is, why she didn't call us.
And all right.
I'm a little offended.
Hang on. I'm texting her. We're recording the pod right now, and I just screamed at you on the pod, so.
Yeah, shout out to our friend Babette.
Yes.
Who's probably not Babette. Listening, because I don't think that she listens, but that's okay.
She definitely isn't.
If she is, she'll scream at me.
Oh, speaking of people who aren't listening, I accidentally saw that Quinn, friend of the pod, who doesn't listen to the podcast at all, but
Quinn,
you know, Kool-Aid Man's through the door.
Quinn, friend of the pod, Keeks' is man friend, quite, whatever.
Quite often when I'm trying to record. That's why if you notice that Quinn is not places, it's because I try to record when he's not here, because the poor baby can't play PlayStation while we're recording. And also, who the fuck wants to listen to one side of a Star Wars conversation for an hour and a half while I'm drunk? Anyway, he got me a Millennium Falcon beer opener keychain.
Nice.
That's the best. I love it. That makes me happy. I'm so happy for you. All right.
All right, yeah, we got way off track.
Anyhow.
That's okay.
It's so very unlike us.
I know. It's so weird. We're usually so, just really keep it tight and focused. So, kind of for the future of the canon universe and Star Wars in general, what paths do these stories open for the franchise going forward? You know, in terms of the overall Star Wars galaxy, but also in terms of the act of storytelling itself. Like, what plot doorways do they open, and what doorways do they open in terms of telling the actual story?
I mean, we've already talked a lot about how this is the first short story collection they've done. We would really love it if they did one for the 40th anniversary of every single one of the original trilogy. But also, falling quickly upon this was the release of Canto Bight, which is, of course, not a novel like they've been doing usually thus far anyway in terms of the new canon, but a collection of novellas. So I just really hope they just continue playing with these short form things, especially because they're so underappreciated in, you know, quote unquote mainstream literature and fiction. And Star Wars is a kind of an interesting place to play with that because it's got a built-in fan base. So you've got a lot of people who are really interested in the content, really want to read stuff no matter what form it takes. And I think there are a lot of opportunities to, you know, open people up to other literary forms besides the novel. Boom, that's the pod.
Yeah, right.
Yes, and
Christy, do you have thoughts?
I mean, I think, sorry, I like made this point before this point happened because I didn't read the outline. I mean, I think like,
God damn it.
I mean, I did, right? Like, this was kind of my point with Rogue One is I think each one of the things like this and the, well, I'm just trying to think, like, I think right now the, I have an actual point. You don't have to laugh at me even though I'm having difficulty articulating.
I'm really sorry. That was mean.
It's okay. No, you can always be mean to me. I deserve it. White people are trash. So I think a lot of this is a feeling out of like what they can do and get away with and how the fandom reacts.
Yes.
And what all of this means. And I think that's anywhere from The Last Jedi when contrasted with Rogue One and even The Last Jedi. Oh, did I say The Last Jedi twice?
You
I meant
sure
The Force
did.
Awakens.
Okay.
The Force Awakens versus Rogue One versus even The Last Jedi. And I'm going to burp into the microphone as well. You know, versus whatever the play it safe, I think kind of the play it safe version of a Star Wars book would probably be like Bloodline.
Sure.
It's like a known character.
No, the like, play it safe version is Heir to the Jedi.
Okay, well, we haven't read Heir to the Jedi.
Which is not,
as you know.
Which is not a knock on Bloodline.
It's totally not a knock on Bloodline. Like it's not a knock on The Force Awakens, right?
I
loved Force Awakens.
It is a knock on Heir to the Jedi because Chris hates Heir to the Jedi, but anyway.
Right. No, I am not, I...
No, 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 I see what you mean.
That's Claudia Gray, right?
Bloodline is Claudia Gray.
Yeah, bro.
Bloodline. Yes, and I love, you guys know, I think I said that was my favorite book that we've read so far. So that, I mean, that, I don't know. Oh, we talked about that during the Q&A a million weeks ago. But, I mean, I think, you know, it's only kind of a play it safe insofar that it's like a known character and it doesn't introduce a ton of new characters and it's like known themes and, you know, it's all stuff that is interesting. It's well done. It's very good, but it's not necessarily like a deviation from like what they've done before. But this, you know, 40 stories celebrating 40 years from a certain point of view is definitely like a deviation from what they it's I think it's like kind of the opposite of Bloodline, right? Although it is like known characters for the most part that we're starting to know better. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just like really the story group kind of stretching their legs and seeing what people like and what people don't and looking at what people like and what people don't and saying fuck you to a lot of it and doing whatever they want. And I think they're doing a really good job, actually. So
yeah, that's been a real theme of Star Wars this year, hasn't it? Which has been kind of fun.
The story group saying fuck you.
Oh, yeah. But just wait till we talk about The Last Jedi. I also want to give props to Del Rey, the publisher, for putting this book out because, you know, any person in publishing is going to tell you, short story collections, they never make any money. You have to put out a novel. They did it anyway. So thanks, guys.
And gave the proceeds to charity.
Hell yeah, they did.
Or maybe not the proceeds, but the authors all donated
the profits.
Yeah, their share of the profits to charity.
Yes, their royalties, yeah. They all got donated to First Book.
First Book. I was going to call it First Page. Thank you. First Book.
Which is wonderful. In case y'all don't know what First Book is and you want to throw a bunch of money at charity because this nation is trash fire right now, First Book is a charity that donates books to young readers, especially in early childhood. What they're trying to do is...
Do you want me to read the thing?
No.
I have it open.
I mean, you can if you want. Okay. But sorry, I just know a lot about First Book because I used to work.
Oh, no. I was just going to read like the little blurb from the book that explains this, but
I mean, you're
better at that than I am. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I don't know. What am I doing now?
It just says all participating authors have generously forgone any compensation for their stories. Instead, their proceeds will be donated to First Book, a leading nonprofit that provides new books, learning materials, and other essentials to educators and organizations serving children in need. To further celebrate the launch of this book, both companies' long-standing relationships with First Book, Penguin Random House has donated $100,000 to First Book, and Disney Lucasfilm has donated $100,000 children's book valued at $1 million to support First Book and their mission of providing equal access to quality education.
Donated 100,000 children.
I can't read. That was like mostly without a hitch until I was like, donated 100,000 children's books.
I just want to really quickly add what I was going to say is that scientific studies have shown that there is a huge deficit in vocabulary between wealthier kids and, you know, less well-off children socioeconomically, and which is a situation that's actually called word poverty, and it sets you up basically to have a lot of difficulty with reading, writing, you know, comprehension in later in life. So this is trying to bridge that gap because there's no reason children in this country shouldn't know how to read. So
I think that was perfectly covered, and we can move on to some final thoughts on the book.
Which
part? What are they?
Oh my god. So, instead of, like, doing our usual favorite Easter egg, this entire book is basically Easter eggs. So,
thank you.
What, I want to ask both of you what your favorite stories are, and whether, you know, if you have one favorite story, or if you have, like, a top two or three that just really stand out to you, now is the time.
This is a lot of pressure, man.
I know, right?
It is a lot of pressure. I'm gonna crack open the table of contents right now. Oh shit! I'm gonna hit the microphone with my book and open this.
Well, I can go first while you flail around. I really liked "There Is Another" by Gary D. Schmidt. I just thought that added a lot, an extra dimension to Yoda, who is obviously, we know more about him from the prequel trilogy, but obviously a very mysterious character in Empire Strikes Back and in the context of the original trilogy. I also absolutely loved The Sith of Dadawork by Ken Liu and Stories in the Sand by Griffin McElroy about Jot the Jawa. Those were two stories that we talked about back in episode 28, and they're, like, I think the third and fourth story in the book, and they're just amazing and just really, really, really struck me as incredible stories to tell within the Star Wars universe that didn't necessarily need to be told.
Hi, Hamlet.
As Kate
sees the hamster.
Hamster of the pod.
I know.
Official hamster of the Book Wars pod.
I'm just like making literal hard eyes at him right now, basically, is what's happening while he pees. Anyway, sorry.
I'll say my couple because I have it open. I really liked all the stories about our fave ladies. I really liked Beru, Whites, and Lars by Meg Cabot. and Eclipse, even though it fucked me up and it made me want to die. So thanks, Madeline, by Madeline Rue.
Yes.
And was there another one that I liked? I don't know. Let me turn the page. And I think I talked a lot about it, but I also really liked Sparks by Paula Kemp.
Yes. I mean, I liked a lot of these stories and I've talked a lot about them on previous episodes. But as far as standouts for me, I think we all, if anybody like talks to me in real life, they know that, I gravitate towards the angst and the feels because I enjoy crying myself to sleep at night. So yes, Eclipse by Madeline Rue is way, 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 way up there. Of MSC 6 and Men is also up there just for the creativity in the formats and also just a lot of emotions. Like, it obviously it started out as a comedy and like and it was disorienting because you were literally looking through the eyes of a droid, and then it got really, really fucked up and oh god, so many things happened. Grounded was great. Basically, like, no knock on the first half of this book, but the second half of this book just like, you know, for obvious reasons, because the second half of A New Hope contains a whole shitload of feels. Like, oh my god, I wanted to die. Oh, also The Baptist, which was one of the most interesting things I've ever read in terms of, you know, translating, taking Star Wars and, like, translating it through a completely different lens. Because, as we all know, thus far, Star Wars has mostly come through, you know, the gaze of a white, straight, cis man. So, having that, you know, having, thank God, a different perspective really shone a new light, I think, on the galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, and we touched on it, I think, during our first episode when we were introducing the book. But yeah, there's like a fuckload of authors, and well, some of them are queer, and some of them are ladies, and some of them are queer ladies, and some of them are people of color, and some of them are queer people of color, and fuck yes.
Yes.
Yep. And that's a perfect place to leave it. So just to wrap us up.
Yo, I got listener comments.
Oh, we have listener comments.
Yo, dog. All right,
only,
hang on.
If
yo,
only,
dog.
If only there had been a way to put these in some sort of document.
I literally
that outlines what we're going
wrote
to.
Number 6 listener comments.
Oh, that was before.
Fuck
I
you,
went
Chris.
Offline, so.
Well, that seems like a you problem. All right, hang on. I'm pulling them up right now. If my phone would cooperate with me. La 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 la. So two different people pointed out to us that in episode, when did we discuss Tarkin? It was the last episode.
That would have been last episode. That would have been two episodes.
Two
ago.
Episodes
episode
ago.
30.
30. My bad. So we were debating it in the short story of MSC 6 and Men, whether TK421's booty call was Tarkin or not.
Mystery romance.
Whatever.
Please say lover again, Chris, because Kate
hates
it when you say
so,
that.
Makes
TK421's
call.
Lover.
Thank you.
I hate it when you say that.
Sexual man toy.
Okay, please edit that out. That's just not appropriate. That's just,
I absolutely will not.
I'm offended right now. Shannon Troy 26 and at Andrew Banish. Andrew, I'm sorry, I'm saying your name wrong. Can you like at me at some point and tell me how to say your last name? Because I'm really sorry. But it's Andrew _BENESH. Both confirmed to us, or, you know, it's very strongly hinted that it is in fact Tarkin who's the upper level Imperial officer. And Shannon listened to the audiobook of this, which I would actually really love to do because I don't really usually listen to audiobooks so much because my attention span is a piece of shit, especially when I'm listening to something. But she says that the voice actor who narrated the story definitely put on a Tarkin sort of vibe. So, strongly hinting that that is what is going on. The other...
And at Boxerless Bosk also was on board with the Tarkin theory.
Thank you. Yes. Which is a great handle, by the way. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
It's very
quality. I, for one, don't think that it's fair that I can go to the store and get a Darth Vader mask that makes my voice sound like Darth Vader, but I can't do the same with Tarkin.
That's a mood.
A Peter Cushing voice modulator.
That's a mood.
Yeah, and wrinkly, gross old man face. It's not that gross. Medium gross old man face.
What? Medium gross? What the fuck is medium gross? Well. I almost spilled wine all over my computer. Medium gross.
Okay, I just mean like he's like white and basic looking, like, but
oh my god,
is he not British? I'm sorry,
that was painstakingly recreated for Rogue One. Excuse the fuck out of you.
Oh my god, listen, what's our scale from, like, I don't know, someone to Steve Bannon? He's like way towards the other end away from Steve Bannon. That's all I'm saying. You're right, gross was the wrong word to use.
You said medium gross.
This has gone. This has gone a lot.
I know.
This gross has gone in a direction I did not medium, anticipate.
Medium gross.
I mean,
not full gross, or
medium white man.
A little bit gross.
What does medium white man look like?
Medium gross.
So to confirm, we're talking about TK421's medium gross sexual man toy.
Fuck you, Chris.
I am quitting the pod. We're done.
Take a shot. Well, this is the last pod of the year, right? So we get to be... Or does this come out?
I'm pretty sure this comes out in 2018. Oh, so God.
Okay, great.
Damn it.
So we're kicking off
a sterling start
in exactly the same way that we ended the year.
Sure are.
As I wrote in a work email this afternoon, we're just going to chalk this up to setting a really low bar to clear for the start of 2018.
Oh my gosh. I told my poor boss I was working from home tomorrow, and he was just like, what the fuck, man? And I was like, I'm really sorry. Anyway. Sorry to a friend of the pod, Alex, that your comment has to follow up that fucking trash fire, because we love you, and
Hi, Alex.
Alex, Adventure at Heart, longtime listener. Alex, we haven't seen you around lately. Are you okay? Like, can you at me? Mom's worried about you.
Oh my god.
I don't know, maybe she has finals or something. She sent us a comment. She was like, I definitely spent several minutes while reading Eclipse convinced that Bale and Brea died, thinking their daughter was dead, and I died a little inside. And I'm like, same. I'm like, hard same, Alex. Ugh,
true.
I feel like,
I didn't even think about that.
I know.
Fuck.
I know. So, that's...
Oh, we didn't even talk about that, like, fuck shit protocol droid.
Oh, man. What a little asshole.
I know. He's worse than 3PO.
No one is worse than 3PO.
Something.
No one is worse than 3PO.
Oh, damn.
Really? Really? Your daughter might be dead. Can you please touch this dress?
Can you touch
this dress? Literally what happened.
Did you know that Luke and Han's odds of surviving out on Hoth are like 3,780 to 1? Although R2's been known to be wrong from time to time.
To make mistakes from time to time.
To make mistakes from time to time.
I love correcting Chris.
It's okay, so
morning.
so I'm quitting
once
the pod
every 3 months.
So I'm quitting the pod. Chris is fired, and Kristen, good job. You are now the pod.
Everybody's like, please don't let her run the pod. She doesn't know anything.
There's not going to be any outlines.
Know anybody's name.
No one's going to know what we're talking about.
Wait, but how old is everybody?
The podcast will devolve into, so yeah, the main character, that chick, you know, she's blonde.
There were no pirates.
Can I ask?
Where's Hondo?
Where's Hondo? All
right, this has gotten out of, even for us, even by our standards, this has gotten out of control, so we're wrapping it up. Thank you all for listening to these last 5 episodes as we've gone through from a certain point of view. We've clearly had a good time with it. We hope that you've enjoyed it as well. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, email at BookWarsPod, BookWarsPod@gmail.com, and all those. We love, love, love talking to you. And we hope that you'll read our next book with us. We are finally getting to Lost Stars by Claudia Gray. Claudia Gray, the first repeat author on Book Wars Pod.
Correct. And we're going to have our first guest, so coming on to talk with us about all things YA, not just Star Wars. So if you're interested in a larger, wide-ranging discussion about the young adult genre, how talk about it is super gendered and I hate it.
If you'd like to take your first steps into a larger world, basically.
Yes, please join us. That's coming later in January.
Yeah, and so...
Because this podcast is just so only Star Wars and we never talk about anything else. And we never talk about politics. And
no,
it's just
we're
like
disciplined
very
is what we are.
Straight and narrow Star Wars.
Yeah.
Where's
And we hated
Hondo.
The Last Jedi.
Oh my god, no we didn't.
There was no Hondo in it, we hated it.
Anyway, next episode, Lost Stars, we're reading the start of the book through chapter 9. So we hope that you'll read with us through chapter 9 and talk to us on Twitter. In the meantime, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. It'll be a great Christmas / Hanukkah / Festivus, Kwanzaa, whatever December holiday it is that you are celebrating. It'll be a great present to us if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on Google Play, and on Spotify.
Bitch, Hanukkah's over. You're canceled, Chris.
Well, it can be... I accept late gifts.
You're canceled.
Kate, I accept...
You're canceled.
The winter solstice...
People have been trying to cancel me for 3,000 years, Kate.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Went there. All right.
Oh, my God.
On that note, our theme song is Whiz Bang by Boddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design. I'm Chris, accompanied by a screaming Kate and Kristen as I make Jewish genocide jokes. Thank you for listening to the Book Wars Pod, and we'll talk to you next week.
It's the winter solstice, so a lot of people are celebrating the winter solstice. Great.
Wait, do I have the chicken dance stuck in my head again?
Yep.